And the owner of the vineyard said, I know what I will do. I will send my beloved son. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
So in Luke's gospel, it is now Holy Tuesday. Jesus has just ridden into Jerusalem amid shouts of Hosanna. And he weeps over Jerusalem and her refusal to return to him, her Lord and her God. He cleanses the temple and he drives out the money changers. The chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees are stunned by Jesus' righteous anger, and they demand that he tell them by what authority he does such things. But he refuses to answer them, for they cannot answer his question, whether John's baptism is from man or from heaven. But Jesus does not remain silent. He begins to tell a parable that will teach them about themselves. It is the parable of the wicked tenants. And whenever this parable is heard, the question that rises above all the others is simply this: who would do such a thing? What vineyard owner would send servant after servant after servant, having them return beaten, bloodied, and empty-handed? And then, after that, to resolve, you know what, to think, I'm going to send my beloved son. They will respect him. Who would do such a thing? God would. And God did. The Lord is patient, and the Lord is kind, and he is long-suffering with his people. He sends his servants over and over and over again, and thus by his word that they would bring forth the fruits of his vineyard. He continues to do this even in the face of rejection and refusal. Though foolish, sinful men will attack his honor and his authority, he will persist, however, in peace. And so it is that prophet after prophet he sends to his people, into the vineyard, his people Israel. The tenants, of course, as you know in the parable, are the religious leaders, the chief priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees. And they all know that the parable is being told about them. The disciples and the crowds, they know it as well too. They are aware of the long history here. Prophets, you see, have to carry high-risk life insurance. You wonder that they could even get insurance. Because the insurance adjuster knows that it never ends well, right? Isaiah, you know, if the reports are true, was sawn in two. Jeremiah was stoned to death. Amos was slain by the priests of Bethel. Ezekiel was assassinated in Babylon. And Jeremiah was stoned to death. And we know from our own Lord's lips that Zechariah was also stoned to death between the temple and the altar, no less. And this is to say absolutely nothing of the mistreatment that they suffered prior to their martyrdom. And who would do such a thing? Who would be so murderous and so bloodthirsty? Well, for starters, the wicked kings of Judah and Israel. Also, those priests who sold out to the prevailing opinions of the people in that day. And certainly, the false prophets who were constantly preaching this sham peace when there really was no peace. Those are the usual suspects. But the one suspect we often fail to realize is us. When the people of God themselves respond to the prophetic word, don't tell me to repent. No, tell other people to repent, but don't tell me. Don't tell me that my sin separates me from God. That is who do such things. So the chief priests and the scribes, they resolve to kill the beloved son. This is the heir, they say. Let us kill him so that we can get the inheritance. this is so stupid. This is so foolish. If you kill the heir, you don't get the inheritance. What do you get? You get thrown in prison. You get thrown in jail. But they go through with it anyway. They throw the beloved son out of the vineyard and they kill him. That is to say, they took him out to a hill called Golgotha and they crucified him. And so it has been since the very first garden until now. Man attempts to take the fruit of God that God has not given and tries to hang on to life in forbidden and false and wrong ways. The tenants fail to realize that the real treasure and the real glory is not the vineyard itself, but its Lord, His presence and His gifts and His providence. Paradise is not found in the pretense of self-righteousness, but merely in the presence of God. And although man does not know what he does ever, God always does. God knew it would happen this way. Jesus was born to bear the sins of mankind, to suffer, be crucified, die, and then rise on the third day. The religious leaders, nor even the Romans at that time, were in control of anything. They were not pulling the strings of Jesus' passion and cross. What does Jesus say? He says, I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again, for this is the charge that I have received from my Father. So what no man saw coming, and when he finally saw it, it was utter foolishness in his eyes. God planned from the beginning of the world, and it was marvelous in his eyes. I dare say you could say that God smiled on Good Friday, knowing that all was finished. That as he sat back in the day of creation and said it was very good, the day that he recreated the heavens and the earth, he said, very good. As Pastor Fisher likes to say, a very good Friday. In the crucifixion, you see, of the Son, the vineyard is given to the church. It is taken away from Israel as a nation and then given to sinners who are forgiven by the blood and death of the Son. It is given to those who do not reject the Son, but believe in Him. Whether that's Jews or Gentiles, young or old, male or female, slave or free, all those who by faith cling to the crucified Lord, this vineyard is theirs. And those who cling to the Son are now, and by faith are now brought into this vineyard by the means that God has appointed, by Him sending more and more servants into His vineyard. We call them Christian pastors, who faithfully sow by the sweat of their brow the Word of God into the hearts and flesh of men. God also, by the way, entrusts the care of His vineyard to the church on earth, to His people in the various ways and vocations that they inhabit. Christian parents who bring their children not only to the font, but raise them in the vineyard. Husbands and wives, brothers and sisters are given to care for each other. Teachers for their students and students for their studies. Doctors, nurses, cooks, computer programmers, wherever the Lord has planted you, wherever He has given you work to do, that is where you care for His vineyard in love. That is where and how, by faith in His word, you bear the good fruits that are holy and pleasing in His sight. Now, in the face of the religious leaders' incredulous disbelief that the vineyard would be ever taken from them, as they say, surely not, right? Jesus ominously quotes Psalm 118, verse 22. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is a direct prophecy of Jesus' death and resurrection. The builders, as you know, are the religious leaders, and they have rejected Jesus and they have crucified him. But he is risen from the dead. And so now he has become the cornerstone of his vineyard, the church. But here's the thing. Now everyone must die on this stone. Because it's one of two things. Either you fall on him in faith and you are broken to pieces in repentance and faith, and so you live. Or he will fall on you and crush you. There's no middle ground here. You either believe, and in Jesus you lose your life, and so you find it, or you don't believe, and you just lose your life. Period. The end. Eternally. Either way you die, but only one death leads to eternal life. That is the great warning of this parable. That you and I are in this vineyard by grace, in large part because some servant, a parent, a grandparent, a friend, brought you to hear and receive the gifts of Jesus. And there is always the danger of falling into the sin of the wicked tenants, that is to reject God's word and those whom he sends to preach it and to teach it. We are not to be deceived. The rejection of God's word is the rejection of God himself. Or the rejection of the preaching is the rejection of Christ, because Christ is the substance of the preaching. So Luther will speak of the gospel as a rain shower. It pours on a place and it makes everything green and fruitful and full of life. But when man is ungrateful, he takes the precious gospel away, and the shower moves to another place. So it is that we as Christians pray daily that our dear Heavenly Father would not take his gospel from us because of our rejection of his word or our ingratitude. Why? Because after all, in this place, in this divine service, God is raining down his gospel. The gospel falls into your ears and into your hearts and upon your lips and into your bodies and makes them alive and fruitful with good works. So we are to soak this in. We are to listen gladly. We are to receive eagerly and respond joyfully. For this divine service is our connection to the vine. We are simply his branches. And when we as his branches abide in him, we will bear much fruit. That is to say, we will have a life that is full of repentance and faith, and we will bear the fruit that the owner of the vineyard is looking for. But apart from him, apart from the dew that falls from heaven, this gospel, we will have and we will bear nothing. So only as we are connected to Christ, his nursing sap flowing in and through us, that we are brought into a life in which we love God and we love our neighbor. That in Christ we become generous and lending freely and giving sacrificially. We protect our neighbors and we speak well of them and defend them and guard the sanctity of his or her body and reputation. We put our neighbor's needs before our own, even to die for them if God so wills. And why is that? Because we have the life that cannot be taken away. We have the life of Christ, the promise of the resurrection of our mortal bodies on the last day. That is the sweetest and most precious fruit of the gospel. And God sends his preachers, his servants, and also the fellowship of this vineyard to tend and cultivate this hope and this truth among us. And he sends his beloved Son. All the benefits of his life and death are designed to keep us in this vineyard, in this church until the day of that great harvest. And who would do that for a bunch of ungrateful sinners like me and you? God would. And God did. In the name of Jesus. Amen.